Praise the Lord. So stand if you will. Bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that, Lord, you gave us another blessed day, Lord, to live, Lord, and for you to walk with us and for you to make our decisions. And Lord, we're just so blessed and so thankful, Lord, and feel so close to you, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord, and privileged, Lord, that we can wake up in the morning and go throughout the day knowing you're right there beside us. Lord, we didn't come here to find you. Lord, we carried you all day long. And Lord, we just ask you to have your way in this service, the songs, everything that's said and done, be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our Capstone Life Books, page 53, The Gospel Ship. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joys with you I'll share. I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship and go sailing through. Amen. Scarcely wait, I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Page 94 in the same book. You hear people talking about it. I heard people talking about it today, but I know he's coming back like he said. Amen. Some people from the Lord are running. They say that he's not coming, but they don't understand what the word said of that day. He's gonna split the seas. thinking this song today, 613, and they only believe. Amen. There's a light in the window, and a table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see the crystal river. I must be here forever, and I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home. This world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this home. Amen. Yes. I can see the family gathering, sweet faces all familiar. No one's old or feeble. It really struck me. This world's been a wilderness, but I'm ready for deliverance. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We know we got a promise, a hope that most people in this world struggle with every day. And I heard him talking about it today. It just struck my heart. Lord, we know you're coming back for us, but they don't have that hope and that peace. And I just thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. Brother Sells, would you like to take up the offering? Amen. That's blessed.
Heavenly Father, Lord, truly it's wonderful, yes. Lord, to be able to sing these songs, Father, and Lord, reminisce about, Father, where we're going.
Amen.
And how soon it's going to be. And Lord, the anticipation is growing greater and greater in our hearts. But Lord, the closer we get to you, Lord, the more we can love your appearing. Lord, bless each and every one, Lord. Gather here tonight, Lord. Yes. Bless the offering, Lord, as you've laid on their hearts and bless them to give. Lord, may you just take it and use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Amen. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Amen. As we take the needs upon your heart tonight by the uplifting of your hands. Amen. Brother Finley, would you like to take the request tonight?
Lord, another blessed opportunity to be able to come in the house of prayer. Share these souls, Lord. Just bless deeply, Lord. We just thank you for all that you have done for us.
Yes.
The ones that are out tonight, Lord, we just pray that you would reach down and touch their hearts, or touch their bodies, water from. Lord, we just pray now for the ones here, the hands that went up, that you would be able to find each hand. And we just thank you, Lord, and ask for everything that you've done for us. We would give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated if you like. Anybody got a song burning on their heart today? That's on your mind or on your heart? Something you'd like to sing? Your mom, you have one?
Such dangerous times. Satan is deceiving many people in their minds. With all the cares of life, they lose the vision of their goal. They are being lulled to sleep while Satan steals their souls. Oh, but someone's gonna meet this challenge. Someone's gonna win this race. Someone's gonna walk on streets of purest gold. Someone's gonna wear a crown someday. Someone feels a real fire burning. Someone's gonna fan their flame. Determined to make it through. If there's only one left, will that one be you? The pyramid is honing down to a razor edge. Satan's trying all he can to deceive the elect. The adversary seeking out whom he may devour. He's turning people from the word in this lukewarm hour. Oh, but someone's gonna meet this challenge. Someone's gonna win this race. Someone's gonna walk on streets of purest gold. Someone's gonna wear a crown someday. Someone feels a real fire burning. Someone's gonna fan their flame. Someone's gonna be determined to make it through. If there's only one left, will that one be you? Someone's gonna be determined to make it through. If there's only one left, will that one be you?
Amen. Amen. There's a challenge burning in the heart of the elect. You can feel it. Amen. Let's sing that if you want to stand. Let's sing that little chorus, Mercy Rewrote My Life, as we ask our brother to come.
Mercy, breathe. you see where mercy truly reroots your life. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, once more, Lord, we've come and gathered around your precious word. And Lord, we've just come tonight hungry, asking you to speak to us. And Lord, I believe these few things you've laid upon my heart to read have a purpose. And Lord, somewhere it will strengthen someone where it's needed. And Lord, may it strengthen each one of us greater, Lord, to truly put our faith and our trust in you. That Lord, you are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And Lord, you know all things. And Lord, we are truly here tonight just to worship you, to praise you. And Lord, to draw closer unto you, that we might be a people, Lord, that in this day you would use these vessels to declare to this nation that Jesus Christ is still alive and living. And Lord, we just ask it to your glory, to your honor. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word. And Lord, just move me out of the way and let my lips just read off of these pages the things you want read. And Lord, may it just strike our hearts where it's needed, we ask. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it in the lovely, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. While you're standing, if you'd like to, I'd like to turn our Bibles over to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Amen. Just a little exhortation tonight. I'm going to read quite a bit. And you know, it's going to be a lot of things we've heard. But just thinking about how God works. And I'm just going to title our little text tonight, He Works on the Both Ends at the Same Time. Amen. But here in Matthew, the 6th chapter, we'll drop down there to the 5th verse. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in their synagogues in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thy father, which is in and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy father, which is in secret, and thy father, which seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, but your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Amen. And just that little thought, our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we ever ask him. I'd like to turn over now to back into Kings, very familiar little story. In Kings, the first book of Kings in the 17th chapter. Amen. I was just thinking on these things, and the thought I had some quotes and stuff written down from Sunday, and I was looking at them a little different direction, and the Lord just kind of seemed to show me some, lay these things on my heart to read, and we're just going to read them. Amen. But the Word of God is inspired. Amen. And when you can see what God, Brother Branham said, if you can ever look into that scriptures, and you can find where he saved one man by that shed blood of Jesus Christ, he's got to save everyone else under the same thing. If you can look into that Word and see where he healed one man, he's got to heal every other one just the same that ever lays claim on those promises. Amen. Hallelujah. Here in the 1 Kings in the 17th chapter. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants, this is 1 Kings 17, first verse. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto let me drop down to the second verse. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And right off the bat, I just want you to look at that. Against all human reasoning, God said you just go up there and you can drink by that brook. There wasn't going to be no food there, but he said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you. He knew Elijah had to be sustained in this flesh body. He knew the needs Elijah had. And he met him the way God met him. And look at that. Only God could command a bird to bring and feed his little bride sitting there. He said, get thee hence and turn. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook, Cherith, that is before Jordan. And I always loved that little verse. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. Amen. Key things of just always following the instructions of God, obeying what the Word says, and putting your faith and confidence in what the Word said He would do. Amen. And the ravens brought Him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and He drank from of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Oh my, no complaint, just matter of fact. I'm here, this is the situation I'm in, and if nothing intervenes, here she is just doing her daily chores, and she realizes the facts of life that's staring her in the face. No food, no way to get it. It was gone. The desert was dry. The food was gone. But here she is, just not complaining. She just made a statement. I have not. And oh, how Elijah said unto her, Fear not, but go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me after. Make for thee and thy son. Oh my, there's those instructions again, coming from the word of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord of God, Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, and neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And I just want you to look at that, how down in her heart there was something that she recognized when Elijah said that. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel. She followed every detail. Something was in there. A spark. And oh my, she followed and look how God just met her need right to the line. Before she ever knew, God was working on both ends at the same time there to bring that situation to His glory and His honor. And I want you to think about that. And as Brother Branham typed this many times, and this is in the message preached in 1952, God's Way, that's been made for us today. And Brother Branham here, he dramatized this just a little bit. And it's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I just want you to listen as he dramatized this. And maybe we think it's just a story. But I want you to just, when you listen to this on tape, the inspiration that can come off of him telling this and bringing it to life how God cares for His own and what God is willing to do. But we must find that faith to trust Him. A faith that'll hold through it all. A faith that'll keep us, whether we're on the mountain, as our brother talked about last Thursday evening, or whether we're in the valley. A faith that's rock steady. That no matter the situation, my God is God. And what a mighty God we serve. And how He'll hold us steadfast. But here on page 7, he says, Now I can see down there one morning. Let's turn our cameras down there that way a minute and watch and see. I can see them boys down there one morning. And they said, Now look, the king said, Everybody that don't bow down, we're going to throw them into the fiery furnace. And they went and prayed through one night. And the next day when the sound come that they'd bow before the image, why, they turned their back to it. So he come around and he said, Boys, did you do that? And he said, Yes. Well, we'll heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than ever was. Now, isn't that strange? There was a gangplank laying out here going up to the mouth of the furnace. And all over Babylon was red that morning. The fire roaring, and I can see the king, Nebuchadnezzar, as a modern man today, he sat out there and said, Now we'll just burn all of that Holy Ghost religion out of them guys. Oh yeah, don't you think the devil won't burn you? He sure will, but remember, the Holy Ghost is fire itself. And now, I want you to watch. God's way led straight up the gangplank. I can see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking the death march. And I can hear Shadrach say, Abednego, did you pray through? Yep. All right then. Are you sure you're in God's way? Yes, sir. And God said in His word for us not to bow to idols, and we won't do it. God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But if He don't, and what of it? We're not going to bow down. We're going God's provided way. And I can hear somebody say, Are you sure you got His provided way? Yes. Hallelujah.
And that can apply to any situation. Maybe you've got a chance to take a job that would pay you much money, make your life so much easier, and Satan's there all the time offering it. All you got to do is do this. All you got to do is take this. That's all you got to do. But oh my, but maybe God's word said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and that's burning more in your heart than all Satan's got to offer. And how these situations come right down into our very lives every day as we walk through. God's word lays on one side and Satan's on the other, trying to take us, to destroy us, try to destroy God's plan, try to make it look like God's not able to fulfill his word, but God is more than able to fulfill his word. And here sat these men in this day, thought they were greater than these three puny little Hebrew children as they were walking up through there. Oh my, their armies, and oh, they had their hot furnace, and how great they thought they were. But here walked those three little boys up through there, or young men. Said, yes, sir, are you sure you're in God's way? Said, yes, sir, God said in his word for us not to bow to idols, and we won't do it. God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But if he won't, but if he don't, what of it? We're not going to bow down. We're going God's provided way. And I can hear somebody say, are you sure you got his provided way? Yes, hallelujah. Some say, well, don't you think all them people possibly could be right instead of you? No, sir. The Bible said so, and we're staying with it. And right up the gangplank they go. And oh my, how that ought to be anchoring into our hearts. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a catching away of this church. It don't matter what shape the world gets into and how bleak and dark it looks. He said he was coming back for me, and by God's grace, I know the word that I'm hearing in this hour is preparing me that this body is going to change in the twinkling of a moment of an eye. And I will take off from this earth. Amen. And fear not. We won't hinder those that sleep, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh my, God's got it all in the palm of his hand. Each and everything. Amen. He says, no, sir, the Bible said so, and we're staying with it. And right up the gangplank they go. The heat, so intense, the heat was almost, it did kill the men that brought them up. And they just about ready to step in, and God hadn't said a word. Oh, my, sometimes, maybe the situation looks so bleak, and we may be praying and crying out to God, and maybe it just seems like the answer won't come. And oh my, maybe we really need something. And we're there and we're crying out, Lord, I need this thing. And maybe it still just seems like the answer's not coming. But God's ever mindful of his children. And oh my, he's ever mindful of everything you have need of. And he knows what you need before you ask. And oftentimes we go to God in prayer and we ask for something and we don't ask in the right manner. We ask for the way a human might think. Maybe in a time of distress, we're praying, Lord, for this certain thing. And we're praying as a human, not getting in the spirit and praying as God would have us pray for that thing. And really cry out to him. But he says, notice, all the time that there's something going on down here, there's something going on up there. At the same time, let's look up there a little bit and see what goes on. I can see him standing there and his princely robes around him. Hallelujah, I can see him. The first thing, come from the right, a great big angel called Michael. And they got one up there. Did you know that? I can hear him run up there beside him and say, Master, I can see him taking his sword out of his shield like this and say, have you looked down in Babylon this morning? These men walking God's provided way. And there is men who is willing to seal their toast testimony this morning. And our brethren is just about to be burned. And I can hear him say, oh, let me go down there and I'll change the picture. And I believe he could have done it. Amen. He says, but I can hear him say, no, I can't let you do it, Gabriel. Or Michael, you've been a very fine angel. Go and put your sword back and stand at attention there. And here comes another angel he called Wormwood. Makes the waters bitter. And here he comes up and says, Master, look down there. I've got all the control of the waters. You've turned it over to me in this antediluvian destruction. And I've washed the whole world away, all but Noah and his people. And he said, let me go down there and I'll wash Babylon off the map. And I can hear him say, Woodworm, you can do it. That's right. But I can't let you go. It's a man-sized job. And oh, I can see him raise up like that. And they're just about to make the last step. I can see him reach over there and say, come here, to a big thunderstorm hanging back yonder. A big thunderhead hanging back yonder. He says, oh my, it obeyed him. And I can see him, hear him say, east wind, north and west and south, come here and carry this thunderhead. I'm going to drive you like horses, and I'm going to sit on this thunderhead this morning like a chariot. And I'm going down to Babylon myself. Hallelujah. And God had a purpose for having the prophet express it just the way he expressed it here. To show that God is that big. If God calls the winds together, he can do what he wants with them. God's in control of everything. He's got you in his hand. He's got every action, everything that's happening around us today. It's in the palm of God's hand. And God, the footsteps of the righteous ordained of God. You can't make one move that he didn't know you wasn't going to make. There's not a hair that falls from your head that he didn't know was going to fall from your head. Well, God knows everything. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, I can see him reach up and get a hold of a zigzag lightning and crack it across the sides like that. And just as they make their last step, walking in God's provided way, about the time they hit in there, he passed by the sea of life, picked up a palm, and he was standing there, fanning the breeze off of them. Hallelujah. He is always there when a man will walk with God's provided way. Yes, sir. And I want you to think about that. They didn't bow. They held dear to him the very thing they believed with all their heart. And it didn't matter how bad the circumstance got. God, I believe you said. Whatever you said you would do, you're more than able. And oh my, how they held to that. And how God rewarded that faith that was in them. And oh my, how he bore out his glory that day. For that king said, behold, I see a fourth man in that fire like unto the Son of God. I want you to think of how great God is. How big is our God, and what can he do? All things are possible, but if you only believe. And oh my, may we cry out to God that he would fill us with a desire that our hearts would be so full. Amen. Amen. We come into this service every time. Oh my, I'll get ahead of myself. Let's just wait. Amen. Let's go over here. This is in the, he was to pass this way. Amen. Just, it sounds like a lot of reading, but you bear with me and let God just put a picture into your heart. Amen. God is working. God's moving. There may not be many of us here this evening, but each one of us, if we come asking God tonight, he can make, give me something that I needed, that I was lacking. Amen. But it's all in how you did you ask for it. Have you cried out to God, Lord, I need a revelation of this word greater than anything in my life. The word we heard Sunday morning, do I know without a shadow of a doubt, it's burning in my heart with a steadfastness. No one can take it from me. I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. Is it burning or do I still wander? Do I still fret? God's not in the fretting business. He wants you to know, and that's why his word's here. He's here every day to give you the desire of your heart and to make sure you know exactly. Amen. He's trying through his precious word to show us where to stand and how to stand and why we can stand. It's not you that's standing, but it's him within you standing. Hey, man, he's more than able, saints. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Amen. He's speaking here. He says, this is on page 7 that he was to pass this way, and it was preached in March 21st in 1964, paragraph 49, talking about Zacchaeus and his wife. And he said she tried to tell her husband, Brother Branham dramatized it a little bit. He got carried away in his business, and he belonged to the church. Isn't that good enough? Something like a rich young ruler, you know, he had business also. But he realized that he was a member of the church, but he didn't have eternal life. And he asked, he seen something in Jesus that other men didn't have, and he said he come to him, and he wanted to know. Let me drop on down here, page to 51. When a man ever comes in contact with Jesus Christ, he is different from man. You'll never be the same once you see him, if there's any spark of God about you. So Rebecca had found this Jesus, and he was to her exactly the fulfilling of the promise that the Jews had been looking for their day. So the news had got around he was going to have a breakfast or some kind of a dinner or something down in Jericho. So that she got busy praying about her businessman husband. We need more Rebeccas everywhere. You see, prayer changes things. If you lay your husband or your unsaved one before God and then pray, God will make a way somewhere because he promised to. So that's what Rebecca, being a staunch believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and a very fine, sweet person she must have been, she had an interest in her household. And I think that reflects again that if a person ever meets Jesus and finds him really in your heart, you're interested not only in your own household, but the household of God everywhere. You're interested in that they know him. Amen. To know him is life. Know him, see? Not how to read the word or so, but know him is life. Amen. And oh, that strikes me so great as I sat at a table with breakfast yesterday morning with some people when we got to talking about scriptures. And how many people know this as a law? They know it is a law, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But by God's grace, it's not a law to me. But it's God's mercy and grace that by God's grace he's revealed it. And when I open them pages, I don't see a law, but I see God's love to me. Amen. His correction to me that guides my footsteps, that puts me on the paths of righteousness. And by his mercy and grace has opened my eyes that I can see what he's done for me, where he's taking me from and why I must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. How great he is, saints. Man can't do that. You can come in them doors every day of the week and sit here and listen at the pastor preach. You can come in and hear me preach. You can travel the country around and listen to every minister, every sermon, and learn this Bible, learn these books inside out until you know God personally as a personal revelation to you that he died for you, paid the price for you, and that you were in the thoughts of God before this world was ever formed, and you can see you was glorified and justified. Oh my, when you can begin to see that your name was written down in those pages, you can see you are an overcomer. You see all these things taking place in your life, and you see that word pulling and it's vindicating back out through you. What a joy it'll bring. Hey man, it's not how much we can shout, how much we can sing, or how much we can get to church, but it's how much Jesus Christ is living in us. Hey man, but if he's in there, you'll sing, you'll shout, you'll go to church. Amen. Everything you'll do every day, the things you love to do, and you won't have to be made to do it. But amen, with a joy and a love burning in your heart. Oh my, it'll be a reality to you. He says, I think that replace again, if a person ever meets Jesus and finds him really in your heart, you're interested not only in your household, but the household of God everywhere. You're interested that they know him and to know him as life. Know him, see, not how to read the word or so, but know him as life. So she had prayed hard, and the day drew close when Jesus was supposed to enter the city. And no doubt but the day before, she might have seen his attitude had changed, to see if his attitude had changed. And she said, maybe Zacchaeus, are you going to breakfast in the morning? Why, certainly not. Why, that bunch of people, and you expect me, I have got the restaurant in town, and they hold it over at the Levinsky's. I hope there's not a Levinsky here anyhow, but over at the other place, see? Why, I got the best place in town. They picked the place down there. Why, they oughtn't have done that. They ought to come to my place and hold this. See, he wasn't going. And then she got to praying really desperately. So then that night, that little fella couldn't rest at all. Amen. God began to work. God looked down and he laid it on her heart to pray. He put that desire in there for her to go down and desperately pray for her husband. But God knew all the time. God was looking down, saw her praying, saw the situation. She didn't know what God was going to do. She didn't know that the next day that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come and dine at their house. She didn't know that. She didn't know what was going to happen. But she was praying and she was crying out to God, and God looked down and saw a desperate heart. He saw his little child down there crying out to him. He could see that prayers coming up as a sweet-smelling Savior to him. And oh my, then she got to praying real desperately. So then that night the little fellow couldn't rest at all. And you know, there's something about it. If you go to really desperately praying about something, God works on both ends of the line. See, he answers. Oh my. And how the story goes on, I won't take the time so I can get to these others, but how God moved down in that situation, and here's Zacchaeus, oh, everything made right. But oh my, God working. And God's got a way. God don't have hands, he don't have a mouth, he don't have feet, human on the world, in the world today, but your eyes, your hand, your mouth. And he's housed on the inside of you, and he's expressing himself out of you, not what you are, but expressing himself back to others. And oh my, how we ought to cry out for the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that God would lead us and guide us as we move into this next little scenario. Amen. I want to read this here. This is, amen. I apologize. Let's try to hurry up here. This is in the Message. Faith is the sixth sense, and this was preached June 11th of 1960. And I'm starting somewhere in the middle of the paragraph 30, I believe. And Brother Branham's telling a little something that happened. He said, we started up to Mr. Wright's to eat supper. And when I did, I said, I don't feel like eating supper before I go back to meeting tonight. I believe I'll go up and pray. I have a burden on my heart for that little girl. And I went up there in the hillside and started praying. About 2 weeks ago, I was down there in that same little bush. And I knelt down there praying, looking up to God, and I tried to be quiet. And I knelt down there praying, and he says, you know, you just start to pray or do something right and watch how the devil gets a hold of you. And I went back over here, and the sunshine setting was shining in my eyes, and I went back to this side, everywhere you was. And finally, I just give up. I said, Lord, God, let the sticks hurt my knees and the rocks hurt my knees, whatever more I'm praying. And oh my, when you get to that spot where he's the only one that can satisfy that burden that's in your heart, when there's something burning and pressing in you till you're so restless that you know there's something God's trying to show you. He's dealing with your heart and you can feel it. You may not know what it is, but it'll drive you to that prayer closet. It'll drive you to your knees to find that place with God to where you can begin to cry out to Him, for He's the only one that can release your burden. Amen. And he says, and I went, and I started praying. And just about that time I got to praying real good. I looked out and a little dogwood bush. Anybody know what a dogwood is? Oh, sure, Ohio knows what dogwoods are. And a little dogwood bush there in that light, the angel of God, whose picture you got there, that light was shining down on that bush and said, "Rise to your feet." And I said, "Yes, my Lord." He said, "Go by the way of Carter's," and that's all he said. Well, when I heard that bell ringing, Mr. Wright had told me, he said, "When the bell rings, Mama's got supper on the table and you come on." An old country bell. Now, look here, God just told him to go do something. And in the natural, I'm sure that he probably was hungry, even though he said he didn't feel like eating. But look how Satan began to ring the dinner bell as soon as God spoke to him. He says, Mr. Wright told me, he said, "Now when that bell ring, Mama's got supper on the table, you come on." An old country bell said, "You ring it. And when she's ringing it, you come on." And I heard it, but I was in the vision, and I couldn't go. You know, God answers on both ends of the line. Don't you believe that? The same little Georgie was so nervous knowing I was going to leave the country. And she was crying, and she wanted to come and be baptized. And she had promised God, and she got real restless. And her mother, a wonderful woman, she went out in the kitchen and knelt down and shut the door between her and Georgie and said, "Oh, God of heaven," she said, "do something to that low-down impersonator that's come through our country here. In the 9 years that my poor little girl's laid on that bed, she's never complained one time. And now he's got her all scrupled up in her mind, telling her about a healer or something another." Talking about Brother Branham here. Brother Branham had told her that God could heal her. He had talked to her. And here her mother, just, oh my, she was praying sincerely. And she says, but he's got her all screwed in her mind, telling her about a healer or something. And I said, "Rebuke that man, rebuke that man, Lord." And Brother Bram said she was honest about it. She said, "Run him out of the country, my poor little girl laying there dying with not a hope that she can live any longer in there, laying in there like that. And an imposter getting her all worked up under a false hope." She said, "Now this is her testimony. I wasn't there. But she said she raised up. She thought she heard someone coming. And she raised up, and her daughter lived up on the hill a little ways. And she thought it was her daughter. And she looked back, and she looked and said, on the wall where the sun was going down at the same time I was praying, she seen a shadow coming down the wall." And Brother Branham saying, the same time he was praying, she began to see the shadow come down the wall. She seen a shadow come down the wall, and it was Jesus. And she said, "There he was, just as pretty as you've ever seen him, with his beard. And he said, 'Why are you weeping? Who's this coming?' Said she looked over here and she seen the shadow of me kindly, partly bald-headed, packing this here same Bible over my heart, coming, walking in with a man following me. And she run in and she said, 'Georgie, the funniest thing happened.' She said, 'I must have went to sleep and I dreamed a dream. And I saw that preacher come in. And about that time the door slammed on the car and I was getting out on the outside. And oh, God answers on both ends if you'll just let him do it.' There was Georgie there believing against all unbelief. She was still holding on that God would make her well. And if he could heal one girl, he could heal another. Yes, and she had seen me. And I walked up under the anointing. I had never even knocked on the door. I just opened the door and her father was gone up to his barn to get some milk that he just got through milking. So I walked up and I opened the door and I walked in there. And this woman, the mother, just fainted and fell over on the floor. Oh my. God showed her that man coming, and then he walked through the door in the flesh. Oh my, just think of that. Oh my, God's still God. He still works the same way. Now, Brother Branham was a prophet, and God gave visions that this would be written for our admonition. But remember, he said the same faith without a vision will produce the same works. And that's why God's called this bride to, that we would come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Amen. The fullness that in us would be housed. All God was, he poured into Christ, and all that was in Christ, he poured into the church. And if a spirit-born, spirit-filled man puts the word of God on his lips, it's the same as deity speaking. The same as God, the very God that created this earth. As our brother mentioned, there's enough power in you to create a world. But oh my, if we can just catch the revelation that it's truly God that's living down inside of me. It's the same God that hung, oh my, back in the day when he came, he was made flesh and he dwelt among us. But oh my, but before that in the mind of God, God finished this work. He was Alpha and Omega. Oh, he knew the end from the beginning. Amen. And he still does. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, and this woman, the mother, just, let's see, drop down. And there behind the bed, the little post bed, she rubbed all the paint off it as long as she could get her hands back that way, holding on to that, crying to God for relief. and her church telling her the days of miracles is past and she was born to be a child of God. And there she was holding on to that promise that God, by his mercy, showed a vision and sent me down there. And there it was. And I said, I know who you are now. You're the lamb that I saw caught up in this bunch of theology down here. Hallelujah. I said, Georgia, the Lord Jesus, who you love and serve, appeared to me up there on that hill a while ago in the same light that hung over the nail girl. And he told me to come by this way, and I command the devil in the name of Jesus Christ to leave you. I said, rise up on your feet. Satan said, how's she going to rise up? Her legs are no bigger than a broomstick, hardly. That wasn't a thought. Come up anyhow. And she couldn't even raise her sputum cup. And she rose up from that bed under the power of the Holy Ghost, walked across the floor praising God, and went out and sat down in the yard and blessed the grass and the leaves and things. She hadn't seen them for 9 years. And I turned around and walked on away, and her mother raised up and began screaming and falling, fell across the porch out in the yard. Neighbors began coming, thinking the girl had died or something. And here she was in the yard, walking around, patting the leaves and blessing God. And her father heard all the noise, and he said he'd come down. And there lay his wife out there, people fanned her like that. And he heard the organ playing as he walked into the house. There was his little daughter sitting at the organ playing. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Amen. And when sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Oh my, she hasn't been in that bed no more but to sleep since that time. And that's been 15 or 16 years ago. Oh, what was it? Holding on to a sixth sense. Something on the inside saying, if he could heal one, he can heal me. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Oh my, saints, and how was we are moving into what God is doing, and we begin to get the revelation, and a greater revelation revealed to us. And we truly see this word conforming us, and our bodies changing. Everything about us turning to this word. Oh, what a joy it ought to bring. What a peace it ought to bring. Oh my, who cares how rocky this world gets? Who cares how bad life gets, as long as he's holding me? But oh my, God still moves. He still can lead people. Do you remember the story? I didn't bring it with me, but there was a woman in a prayer line, brought a baby to be prayed for. And a woman in the audience felt led of the Holy Spirit to go pray for that baby. And Brother Branham, she said, but Brother Branham's going to pray for that baby. I better not. But she went and prayed for that baby. She followed what God had laid in her heart to do. Being in the Spirit, she went and prayed for that baby, and Brother Branham said she had compassion. As a mother, she could feel the compassion for that other mother more. And she went over there and prayed for that baby, and then the baby come up in the prayer line. And Brother Branham said, but this baby's already been healed. So-and-so over there prayed for it, and God already healed it. And the question was asked, can we all do miracles? And he said, yes, when we're directed by God. It's not about the miracles, but it's about having the faith that you can, whatever you have need of, God is more than able to meet that need. If we can hold fast the profession of our faith and stand without wavering as Abraham did for 25 years, though the promise looked like it was impossible to happen. But he held on to what God had given. It was anchored in his heart that my God is more than able to meet the promise that he gave to me. And oh my, I don't know what you may have need of tonight, but God does. And he's looking down right now, looking into our hearts and seeing how sincere we truly are. Does he see us crying out, Lord, I need a revelation of this precious word. I'm not anchored, Lord, but I want to be anchored. Does he see it? Oh my, we have as our pastor comes Sunday morning and he preaches the word, God lays upon his heart what to bring. And tonight, I don't know what to bring. I don't know what to preach. I can't even put quotes together, but by God's grace, thoughts come to your mind, and you grab a quote, and you grab a quote, and God puts it together. And you come here, and you bring what God gives you, and that's what our brother had done Sunday morning. He come, and he presented what God laid upon his heart. And the Holy Spirit comes down amongst us, the teacher that will teach you all things and guide you in all truths. Comes down and begins to reveal to your hearts the word that God left here on printed page for us to have. And then we come in Sunday night praying for God to have his way. And we begin to pray and, oh my, I had a message I could have preached. You know, but even at home I knew that it just wasn't right. And even when I got to church, I stood in that little room out there and the presence of the Lord was so great. And I could feel him in there and I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know what to read. I didn't know what to bring. And then we come in and we sit down and our pastor says, I just feel led to do it. That's not our pastor. That's God. And you've got to learn to open your eyes and see that God still leads men and women today. Each one of us can be led by the Spirit. For them that are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. And how that Spirit begins to lead, and the tape was played. God had a purpose for that. God works on both ends at the same time. We may sit here as human beings and wonder in our mind, I wonder why he played that. But don't try to figure God out. Stay in the Spirit. Stay in tune and say, Lord, I don't know why we're playing this, but Lord, open my heart that maybe if there's some nugget in there I've missed, reveal it to me. But oh my, we've got away from the leading of the Holy Spirit so much that it's a foreign thing. And how we need it back in our lives into each individual's. Not that I need to wait for Brother So-and-so to come tell me that Brother So-and-so over there or Sister So-and-so over there, you ought to go do this for him. You ought to do that for him. But somehow God just, he's got a way. Amen. We ain't all going to have visions, but God can give you a dream. God can just lead you by the, you'll feel a burden so great on your heart and God can lead you and guide you. But are we in tune for that? Is that what we want in our lives? That God would have the full preeminence in our life? It might mean I've got to put my fishing trip on hold. Might mean I can't go hunting. Might mean I can't go to the grocery store. Might mean I can't go visit Brother So-and-so tonight. But if God is dealing with our heart, may we buckle down and say, Lord, let me be one that you can lead by your Holy Spirit. Oh, my saints. Amen. The prophet gave us an example of what it meant to be led by the Spirit of God. And oh, my, he was a prophet. And yes, God used him mightily. And we're not all going to have the same works he had. But look into the book of Acts. Amen. Philip caught away to preach a message. The Holy Spirit anointed Timothy before they stoned him to speak the word of God that, oh my, that cut their hearts asunder. But oh my, led by the Spirit of God to do all things. Amen. The saints went to prayer. Peter in prison. And they went to prayer for him. And God opened the door. An angel opened the door of that cell and let Peter walk out and walked him home. Think about it, saints. Paul and Silas beaten and just wore down for what they believed and what they were trying to do. Laying in a prison, but yet in their heart they could pray and sing. Lord, look at my situation, but I thank you, Lord, that you've revealed yourself to me. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Maybe I don't have food to eat, but thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. Oh, my. Look at the desire that was in their heart, and they began to pray, and the Spirit began to move down in that old jail cell, and the doors shook, and the building around shook. And oh my, I opened that prison up and that old jailer, tell me what I must do to be saved. God was working on both ends at the same time. That beating may have looked really bad out there. Oh, it was terrible to see him have to go through that, but God knew what he was doing. Amen. Oh my saints, God is so real. Look what he can do for you and I. But we must have faith that he knows what's best for us. And we must follow his leading. Amen. It may not always seem reasonable to the human mind, but if God said it, just do it. Amen, and let God fulfill his word. Yes. Amen. This is in the message. God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. Amen. We're almost done. Hallelujah. This is another little story Brother Branham used, but I want you to listen. Amen. Excuse me. Amen. He says here, amen. He says, oh my, let's see. About page 34, paragraph 214. Then there used to be a little song I remember the day down in Chattanooga. It was down in Memphis where I met this little collared woman. You know, standing out there. You've heard me tell about it, you know. Her boy had the venereal disease and she had... Amen. And she had this man's shirt tied around her head, leaning on the bench like that. And the Lord stopped that plane there and wouldn't let it go. Somehow, and they told me to get off. And the Holy Spirit said, take a little trip and go down this way. And I went walking down through there singing, and I thought, my plane's about ready to leave. But something just kept saying, move on, keep on going, keep on going, just the early part of my ministry. And I looked, and leaning across the fence there, a little bitty shanty, little place there, there was an old sister standing there, and oh, she looked like one of these sisters on the Aunt Jemima pancakes, great big fat cheeks, you know, and her hair and her shirt brought up on the back. And she leaned across the gate like that, and I was singing that little song, and I forget the name of the little song I sang now. It's about old Pentecostal shoddy song, A Little Jubilee. And as I just quit singing, I got pretty close, and I walked by, and she was standing there, tears running down them big fat cheeks. And I wanted to hug her, and she said, morning, parson. And I said, Annie, what did you say? And she said, I said, good morning, parson. I said, how'd you know I was a parson? To the people in the South, that means minister, you know. I said, how'd you know I was a parson? She said, I knew you was coming. said, you knew I was coming? I thought, oh, here it is, see. She said, yes, sir. Did you ever read the story in the Bible, Parson, about that Shumanite woman? Well, remember what, if you can ever find one place that he done it for someone else, he'll do it for you, her faith anchored. If he could do it for her, he can do it for me. Amen. She went to praying. And she said, I was that kind of woman. Oh, looky there. She made a contact. Amen. She could identify here. And asked the Lord to give me a baby, me and my husband, and I'd raise it for the Lord. Or raise it for him. And she said, he'd give me a baby and I'd raise it, a fine boy. He said, he got with the wrong company, Parson, and he got a bad disease, and he's laying out there dying. He's been dying for about 2 days now. He ain't even come to himself for 2 days. The doctor man was here, said he can't live, said he's dying. It's a social disease. And said, I couldn't hardly stand to see my baby die, and I prayed all night. And I said, Lord, I was the kind of woman that the Shumanite woman was, but where's your Elisha? And said, I went to sleep, and I dreamed a dream that I was standing here at this gate, and I seen you coming down the street with that little hat kind of sitting on the side of your head. But said, there's only thing. Said, you was supposed to have a suitcase in your hand. And I said, I just left it down there at the Peabody Hotel. Said, I knowed that was you supposed to have a suitcase. She said, but my baby's dying. And oh my, God showed her the details all the way. God don't leave nothing undone. Amen. Said, my name's Branham. She said, I'm glad to meet you, Parson Branham. Said, I pray for the sick. You ever heard of my ministry? She said, no, I don't. Don't believe I ever did. Said, won't you come in? And I walked in, that big fella laying there like that. I was trying to tell her about divine healing. But that wasn't what she was interested in. I want you to look at her attitude. Oh my, the human mind says, heal my baby, heal my baby. In the natural, that's what a human mind thinks. But I want you to look out, Brother Branham said, that big fella laying there, I was trying to tell her about divine healing, but that wasn't what was interesting her. She wanted to hear that boy say he was saved and ready to go. She was cared about the real him that was down on the inside of that old eaten up body. And that's what she was praying for. But look what God saw and look what God done for her. Amen. He rewarded her faith in him. And said, God saved, here say God saved him. And about a year later, God saved him. And about a year later, I was down there at the Red Cap, down at the station, and how the Lord does things. And when I got back there after that, that plane was supposed to leave at 7 o'clock. And it was about 9:30. And I got the cab and went back. And just as I got in, I said, last call for flight number so-and-so. The Lord held that plane on the ground there while I went and prayed for that boy, see? I want you to think of that. Amen. God knows what you have need of. And he just wants to see you be sincere and ask him, Lord, you know my needs. But oh my, oftentimes our prayers are selfish. That we don't often pray the way God maybe wants us to pray. But oh my, look at that sincere little heart. She would love to keep that little baby. God had given it to her. But oh my, she just wanted to hear him say, I'm saved and ready to go. And oh my, how that ought to burn in our hearts. That each one of us, when we have children or whatever, and we see their lives are in shambles, maybe they don't line up with the Word of God, how that ought to be the cry in our heart, Lord, save their soul. Maybe we got loved ones that's mixed up out in the world. It might take a broken arm. It might take a broken leg. It might take a broken back. But oh, God, save their soul. Oh my, sometimes, but all we can think about, Lord, I'd really like to fellowship with them. Lord, I'd really like to see my brother, my sister, my aunt, my grandma, my grandpa. I want to see them, be able to fellowship with them and talk to them. But oh my, what about their soul? Lord, what's more important? Do we pray the way God would have us pray? Lord, not my will, but thine be done. But Lord, remember them. Oh my, that someday we might be together over there. Amen. That's more important than ever being together here. Hallelujah. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. Amen. This is in the message, an absolute. This was preached January 27th, 1963. Amen. Let me see here. Brother Branham, giving a little testimony here. And I want you to think of this. As we go through life, and as even our brother ministered last Thursday night about, he's still God on the mountain. When we're in the valley, he's still God. And I want you to think of this. And this is what the Word is doing for a people, for a bride. Bringing them to a position that the inside of the inside is real. That God is alive in their heart and life. And he says here on page 27, paragraph 228. In the time of my troubles back there when I lost my family and my life was almost taken from me, My little girl died, me praying for her, and after I had been on the streets day and night, preaching and praying and trying to do what was right, you've heard my life story, many of you read it. And Maya had come to a place so I could see my wife die right there and me holding her hand, and my little baby took sick. And a few hours after that, I got down there and prayed. And with all that was in me, looked like a black sheet let down and refused to answer my prayer. Then Satan come to me and said, you see, you're only about 20 years old, and here you, all you've done, and you've neglected yourself, and you've done all these things, and you've forfeit all your young life about, and when you should have been out having a big time like the rest of the young folks. And here you stood on the street corner crying and praying, and you went all night at a time in the hospitals, hours after hours, and when it come your own blood and flesh, he refused to hear you. That was the one time I was tempted. But I happen to remember back, I got an absolute. Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. I don't care what comes or goes. And the state senator of Indiana, Sam Misler, he's coming at the tabernacle. He's deceased now about 2 years. Fine man, he used to. He was coming down the road, and I was going up to pray at the grave where my wife and baby were laying. And it was right after the 37 flood, and I had a pair of boots, and I was walking up the road crying. And little Billy, my son, was just about to die too, and the doctors had done, said there's not hardly anything more to do for him. And he had some kind of dysentery they couldn't stop and an infection, and I was crying, praying, and I thought, well, I was still holding on to God. And I was going up the road crying, and I thought, I'll go up and listen. And I used to sit up there of an evening by the grave, and I'd hear an old dove come down there and go to sing, and I'd hear the pines blow and the winds through the pines. And it sounds like they would say there's a land beyond the river that they call the sweet forever. And we'll only reach that shore by faith's decree. One by one we'll gain the portal there to dwell with the immortal. Someday they'll ring those golden bells for you and me. And I'd stand there and cry, and I'd look up, and I would say to the wife and baby, I'd say, I know you're not laying here. This is just where I planted the remains that I held in my arms, but somewhere beyond the river, you're there. And oh my, how the flesh, the body still missed him. You know, he still was weeping inside. He loved them, but yet he knew where they were. And he says, but see, I'm going up to the place one day to sit. I was going up there that day with my boots, walking along, and the old car come up behind me and stopped. It was Mr. Esler, the state senator. He jumped out of the car, pulled up around, come back, put his arms around me and said, Billy, I sure feel sorry. And I said, that's all right, brother. And he said, I oughtn't to have stopped. He seen I was weeping. I said, that's all right, brother, Mr. Esler. He said, I'm going to ask you something, son. I said, all right, go ahead and ask me. He said, I've seen you stand there in the pulpit till I thought you would die. And I've seen you fast till you'd be so peaked I'd feel sorry for you. And said, in and out, day and night, he said. And then your wife and baby in there, see, you look at them things. He said, what does Christ mean to you now? And I said, thou stream of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth besides thee, or whom in heaven but thee? See, I had found that absolute, that something that held me when the storm was on. And someone said to me, said, Billy, did you keep your religion during the time of your trouble? I said, no, it kept me. And that's what it was. I was tied to him in the hours when my strength was gone. There was nothing I could do but my anchor held within the veil of his word yonder. Oh, my. And may I pray that'll be each one of us. That no matter what comes, that anchor will hold within us. That we'll be steadfast and sure. Time-tested memorials of the Lord Jesus Christ that prove that he is alive and living. He knows what you have need of and when you have need of it. His eye is on the sparrow and he's watching over you. Oh, my saints, may we truly find the faith that was first given. Amen. The saints, the faith that held through the book of Acts when men gave their blood, life's blood to seal their testimonies. Oh, my. When you look at all they've went through and then you see where we stand today, oh my, we don't hardly compare. But God said he would have a people that would he would get the full preeminence of. They would be a prisoner to him and a love slave. Their whole life would be centered to the word of Jesus Christ. Satan wouldn't be able to get a foothold. He wouldn't be able to do nothing with them. They would be still standing steadfast in the precious word of God. And oh my, he's more than able to do it. But oh my, do we trust him like that? Do we have that firm anchor down on the inside that our pastor was talking about as he began to show us the drawing on the board? I know where I come from and I know where I'm going. But remember, God works on both ends at the same time. He leads one here, lets a situation happen over here to cause this situation to happen over there. And oh my, at the time this situation's happening, the human mind looks and says, oh, I can't believe we're going through this. I can't believe that's happened to happen. And then God moves over here on the scene. And oh my, he can show you the way. And it just turns into a beautiful picture that when you look back, you can sing, "Mercy rewrote my life." You can look back and sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me." But oh my, saints, I think back to many a days. We all go through times in our lives. And we could probably each one talk of different times that we had it rough and we had it bad. But you know, there's nothing quite as powerful as if spiritual, something you need spiritually. And I'll never forget when we were tied up in a church that time was running out. It was tearing the church apart. Your whole life was crumbling. Oh, yes, we knew the word, many of us. We stood there and said we knew who Brother Branham was. We thought we knew who God was, some of us. And I speak as myself, being a young man and being raised in that manner. And how you stand there and then you begin to see your world crumble. And the things you had held dear seemed to be falling away from you. And there was only one place you can turn, and that was Jesus Christ. And I'll never forget turning to him and like I'd never had before. And finding that place where I went into prayer and was crying out to him. It was at work. It was at home. It didn't matter where I went. Every day it was the same burden, the same cry. Lord, what do I do, Lord? What's right, Lord? Where am I headed, Lord? What do I got to have? And I'll never forget the night that the Lord showed me. And it was not a vision, but it's just as plain as whatever happened to them ladies where they saw that you can't go on experiences, but God still moves in different ways to show you the path that you've got to take when you're serious with him. He knows exactly how to move on into your life and to show you this. Let this situation happen to make your faith this much stronger. So when you hit this situation, it'll hold that much firmer. But oh my, it's going to take God in our lives in the fullness of all that he was to make this body change in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. Because I believe he's coming back like he said. And by God's grace, I know without a shadow of a doubt, this body's going to change. I will be ready and be caught up to meet him in the air. Oh my. Let's all stand if you would. I apologize for going over a little long. I pray you can take something from the word of God.
Amen.
And pull it into your heart and hold it dear. That God can just continue to dip into our heart a greater faith. A greater understanding. That's what we need. Revelation of the word of God. Not to know this as words on a page. And not be able to say, well, he said and it said and Moses said. But God said. And oh, it'll anchor in your heart. That even when you're in the toughest of times, whatever situation you're going through, there's still a love burning down in your heart for the Lord. And oh my, maybe you've got it bad, but you can still look over and see a brother and feel his pain and say, Lord, bless my brother. Help my brother. Lord, help my sister go through what they're going through. It's not all about I or you, but it's about what God wants done in our lives. Hey, man, may he take all selfishness out of our lives, all stubbornness, self-will, that we would just be so broken and contrite in his hands that he could just mold us, that whatever he wants done, we'd be those people that he could move to do those things with, that he could express in this day that he does have the fullness of the preeminence in that body. Oh, my, may the Lord bless you. I pray you can take something from it. Amen. Hallelujah. I love him. Appreciate him. As Brother Philip comes, yes. Yes.
I wanted to thank the Lord for this. This happened a while back, but I just never felt led to do it, and I do now. I got an older gentleman that works for us. He's a sprinkler fitter. And I got a lot of respect for him. He's just a good old guy that lives the best he can. He loves God. And he just works so hard. He's got great work ethic. I just got a lot of respect for him. One day that I just had a great burden come on my
we're
don't do it. He says, leave it alone, leave it alone.
Yes.
It's all for a reason. I believe with all my heart. Amen. It's all for a reason. And if anything, that morning it showed me something. God is in control. He knows exactly
yes.
what needs to happen.
Amen.
What needs to happen. And He'll lay it on your heart if it needs to happen.
Yes. Amen.
And I just thank the Lord for all that. And I wanted to thank the Lord for that. I just felt led, but after this week.
Amen.
And after this this service, I want to thank the Lord for all He's done for me. And I know He's leading God.
Amen. He is in control.
Amen.
You know, I think oftentimes in the books of Acts, God added to the church daily such as should be saved. God won't lose none of His own. He knows exactly where they're at. And oh my, I know our hearts breaks many times for some of our loved ones. But God knows. And maybe God's testing you to see where your love's at. He knows all about us. And if God says do it, it might be hard on the flesh. It's always hard sometimes to see, you know, people have to go through things and your hands are tied and you can't really help. But God's maybe testing you to see where your love lays. Will you compromise a little bit on the word so you can maybe help that one or this one? But when God's word said to take this stand and to hold fast, God knows. But oh my, a life lived is worth 1,000 words. And oh my, God can do more in 5 minutes than you can do in a lifetime of trying to win somebody to Jesus Christ with just what you think you ought to say. But if one time you ever feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit to lead you to move in that direction, God will honor that. You might go pray for somebody because you just want to pray for them. And you might go pray and pray and pray. And nothing ever happened. But one day, maybe as you're maybe working in a flower bed, God speak to your heart and ask you to go down there and pray for brother so-and-so. And you may go down there and pray, and still nothing looks like it's happened. May get back home and the report come, you ought to see what God has done for brother so-and-so. God moves in His ways. God's going to make sure that when it happens, there's not one place that you'll ever look in that scripture or any place where our prophet ever had a healing service or was led by God to do something that God didn't receive the glory from it. Man's tried to lift the prophet up and make it more like it was him. And it was him, but it was God veiled just in a man, just the same as He was in Jesus Christ. And the same He's veiled in you and I, just as He was in Jesus Christ. We're a very part of Him. Oh my, we're just as eternal as He is.
Amen.
Came from the same source as He did. And I'm going back to where I come from.
Amen.
Oh my saints, I love Him. I appreciate Him for what He's doing. And I pray God continue to just break our hearts down and melt us, Lord. Don't let us be hard and crusty in this. The life's cares just always press and our lives are just in a turmoil. But there's so much peace in Jesus Christ. A peace that'll pass all understanding and hold in every time of storm. Amen. I'm so glad I know Him. Amen. I just sing that little chorus while I was praying. Somebody touched me. Amen. I was singing that before service. Just thinking about God. And I can truly say, every service I come, He touches me. Whether I'm praying, whether I'm listening, whether I'm singing, I can feel His presence. And I know He's here every service. I know He's sitting with me. I know He's in me. And I know He's here to reveal to me the things that I have need of. And oh yes, there's many things that I pray God continue to open my heart. Reveal them to me, Lord. And oh my, how God has never failed. And you know, before we start to sing, I want to just mention this one more time. I think I might have mentioned it before, but one time someone questioned some things on polygamy. And I went and I talked with this person, and oh my, I so tore up for a weekend. And oh, my heart was just breaking and I, just a mess. And I was praying and I was crying and asking the Lord to help not only me, but this person. And oh my, how I just poured my heart out to the Lord, and it was just so. And then we come in the service that morning on a Sunday, and our pastor got up and he said, the Lord has laid a message on polygamy on my heart. Now, I was praying so hard that the Lord would help me, but also help that brother. But that day I got something more from that message than he did. Because God saw my heart, He knew where my heart was. And although it was breaking, but God moved. I didn't go talk to the pastor about the situation. I didn't go tell him what was going on. That was probably the farthest thing from our pastor's mind at that time. But God moves when the time is right.
for each one of his little elected. He'll do the same for you. But he's going to wait till he sees you are truly sincere. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to show God you want it. You've got to show him that it's the most important thing in your life. That's your longing. That's what you need in your heart. Many people come up to sanctification. They live right and they clean up their lives, but they never go on to the new birth, Brother Branham said. They never go on and get that killing of that old nature to where all it comes alive. The passion, your desire, your drives are changed completely. And oh my, how we need that in our lives, each and every one of us. And how God so graciously has brought the word to show us how those things are to be. Amen. Hallelujah. As we ask Brother Philip to come, let's sing that. While I was praying, someone touched me. Amen. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. And it's glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. Amen. While I was singing, somebody touched me. While I was
blessed be his name. Amen. I was thinking there was brothers' ministry, and I was thinking the messages have been coming forth, you know, how that we need to be strengthened to trust in the Lord and trust in his word. And, you know, back in the days of Jesus, they walked with Jesus, and amen, they heard him preach, and the great revelations that he brought forth, or the message that he brought forth, and they saw the miracles and signs and wonders that he done. And, you know, to walk with him, that would have been easy to trust him, wouldn't it? I could believe that pretty quick. And to in this hour that we're living in Brother Branham's time, those who were in his ministry and sat under his ministry and saw the things that God done through his ministry. And, you know, that perk our faith up pretty good, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Well, we're living in an hour now, and the messages that's been coming forth.
Amen.
I believe that God is wanting us to learn to trust in his word.
Amen.
We have to trust in that word. We have to trust in what that Bible said.
Amen.
We have to trust in what Brother Branham said. And I believe that in light of the messages coming forth, I believe we're going to have to do that more and more. As the time grows closer, we're going to have to trust in that word. We have a problem or a situation come up or whatever happens, we're going to have to trust in that word. And that word alone.
Amen.
Amen. May God help us to be able to do that. Oh God, we come to you now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for we realize the message is coming forth, Lord. I don't know whether anybody else thought of it that way, Lord, but the way that the message is coming forth, I believe we're coming closer and closer to a time that we're really going to have to trust in your word, Lord. In thy word alone, Lord. And know, Lord, that word that you spoke then, that's for us today. Lord, regardless of the situation or what trial comes or what test comes, my God, we can look to that word and believe that what your word says, that's what it's going to be. I pray, dear God, you'd help us each and every one to be able, Lord, to do that when that time comes that we need to fully trust in your word, dear God. Grant unto us by thy grace, Lord, that we'll be able to do so. Praying, Father, tonight you dismiss us from this building, but not from your presence, Lord. praying that you would lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord. My God, as we go forth from the days forth, Lord, that you lead us and guide us and direct us in your word and by your word and through your word, Lord. We realize, Lord, that what your word says, Lord, that's what it means for us today, Lord. And knowing that you, being the mighty God that you are, you'll stand behind that word. Pray now you keep your hand upon us, Lord, and just lead us and guide us and draw us closer to you, Lord, as we go day by day, Lord. Draw us closer and closer, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things now. Amen. 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 You're dismissed. Praise God. God bless you.